It is decision time in America. We are at a crossroads, brothers and sisters, whether we are going to be one nation under God or we're going to be one nation in bondage to the devil. I want to begin today by just having a heart-to-heart talk with y'all. God wants to speak to His church, and God's been wanting to speak to His church for a long time. I pray that we would have an ear to hear what God has to say to His church. Back around the year 2000, we were at a crossroad in our nation. Our nation was divided in half at about 50-50. And then something happened on 9/11 that brought our nation back together. God has been speaking to America for quite some time. Are we listening? After 9/11 took place, churches were full all over America. You remember it. And then nothing more happened. And then people went right back to what they'd been doing before. You remember the great slogan back then, God bless America. And that's exactly what it became, a chant, if you will. If we said it, we somehow felt better about ourselves, about our nation, but there was no true repentance that took place. Here we are, 20 years later, and we are right where we were 20 years ago with a nation that is divided, greatly divided. It is divided for the forces of evil and the forces of those who want to do good. It is decision time in America. It may be decision time for you in your own life today. Perhaps you've not yet come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You've not yet surrendered yourself to Christ. Today is the day to get that done. There is a judgment coming, and I know nobody likes to hear about judgment, but there is a judgment time coming. It's prophesied in the Bible. You just need to read the Bible. You know what's coming. This message is to help us understand and consider the questions that we need to be asking ourselves in this day in which we're living. And so I want to begin today by sharing with you some words that were spoken long before many of us were ever born. In 1944, there was a man who was a six-time presidential candidate for the Socialist Party of America. His name was Norman Thomas Mattoon. And Norman Thomas Mattoon said in the 1944 speech, and I quote, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened." And the reason that those words are so important is because shortly after 1944, the Socialist Party of America matriculated itself into the Democratic Party of America. Were those words that Mattoon spoke so long ago prophetic then? Are we seeing his prophetic words coming to fruition in these United States 86 years later? You and I are going to have to decide that. Are we seeing his words being played out right now? Something else we all need to be aware of. I'm fully aware of this, but there are many in the church and out of the church who believe that politics and religion do not mix. I'd agree to a point, but only to a point. Here's the reason why. If God's pulpits are silent as to the political condition of our nation, we're going to fall far away from God. And there is a group that wants us to fall far away from God. Family and friends, the political climate speaks the truth of whether or not a nation is following God. And in America, our founding fathers founded our great nation on the principles of the Bible. And for 244 years now, America has been the one nation God has blessed above every nation. America has been the nation, the guiding light, if you will, that all the other nations of the world have looked to. Because for 244 years, we have enjoyed the blessings of God. We have been blessed by God. We have been blessed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. But have those blessings drawn us nearer to God? Have we honored God? Have we worshiped God? Have we praised God for His protection and His blessings by remaining true to what God says in His Word? And you're going to have to decide that for yourself as we come to this election. But I want you to know something this morning. I've said this many times. I believe what the Word of God says with all my heart, with all my soul. I am standing on the rock that is Jesus Christ. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. And that's where I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand with the Lord. And so when I read God's Word, here's what I know. Here's what I find. I never find God blessing sin. I do not find God blessing a nation that strays away from Him and that dishonors Him. What I do find as I study the Bible is, in world history, is God warning those nations He has blessed to repent and to return to the Lord. My friend, only a fool will say, I have not sinned, because the Bible says that every mother, son, and daughter is sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so not only do we have our personal sin that we need to repent of, but as a nation, we also have a national sin that we need to repent of. Our nation has turned away from God. That's what I believe. But I am not here to force my beliefs on you. You are going to have to decide that for yourself. But I believe God has been warning America for a long time now that it's time to turn away from her complacency, her apathy, and to return unto Him. The Bible says, 1 Peter 4:17, that judgment begins at the house of God. And you know as well as I do that the church of Jesus Christ in America today has not been honoring God as God of their lives, as the leader, as their Lord. We've been less than faithful. We've put other things before Him. We've worshipped other things before Him. Too many of us live for the God of self and not the God of the Bible. And again, you're going to have to decide that for themselves. But where we do not see people coming to know Christ, and the church vibrant and full and excited about what God is going to do, we've got sin in our lives. We need to return to the Lord. I believe America hasn't listened much to God over the last 20 years. Is it any wonder that our nation seems to keep experiencing one disaster after another? Do not think for a moment that Mother Nature is in control of these things. Mother Nature has never been in control, but the God of heaven, He is sovereign, He is Lord, He is holy, and He is in control. And God speaks to His people. And God has been speaking for a long time. Now, I love history. I'm an avid reader of history. And so as I study the history of our great nation, I can also see from the pages of the history that there has been a deceptive evil at work within it. We are where we are today because we have a great enemy of our own soul. We have a great enemy of our nation's soul. And collectively, we are a part of the nation. We're a part of the family of God. We have a great enemy. Peter said he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Paul said he masquerades as an angel of light. This great enemy, as both world history and biblical history proves, has led one nation after another into utter downfall because of its pride and its arrogance. And it's often the case when you study world history and biblical history, this deception often occurs under the guise of liberalism. Liberalism isn't something new. It got started way back in the Garden of Eden at the fall of man. You can be like God. In other words, you don't need God to rule over you. You don't need to submit to the authority of the Bible. You don't need to submit to a Lord. You can be your own God. That's liberalism in a nutshell. And every 4 years in our great nation, God gives our nation the opportunity to vote. To choose the choice that God can honor. And we talked about that for the last couple weeks. And if you weren't here, you need to listen to those messages. There is a choice that God can honor. And yet I'm fully aware that many Americans approach voting in the wrong manner because they begin with the wrong question. They ask who they should vote for rather than the more important question, what does God's Word say and how should I vote? Family and friends, asking the right question is fundamental to arriving at the correct answer. Now, it's very important that we remember that Jesus Christ is going to judge the presidents we've had as to their effectiveness in their leadership. But we also better be fully aware that Jesus Christ will also judge us as to the values for which we have voted for. Every election gives us the determination, are we going to vote for the values that God holds dear? Or are we going to put that down and say, I'm going to vote for what I want? This election, as every election does, holds those who run and those who vote accountable for their vote. There is much more than a president running for office in this election. We also are running for office, so to speak, by what we believe when it comes to the Bible when we vote. Have we obeyed God as a nation? That's a question you need to be asking yourselves. Has there really been a deceptive evil at work in America? What does our nation's history teach? Well, let's examine the record. Because every nation, just like every life, your life, my life, the life of every soul upon planet Earth, has certain mile markers. Mile markers that determine the direction of that life or that nation that it is taking, whether or not it is following after God. And I want to begin our examination today with a passage from the book of Jeremiah. You can begin finding the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. And while you're looking that up, family and friends, Jeremiah preached a sermon known as Jeremiah's Temple Sermon. It comprises 4 chapters in God's Word. Now, time's not going to permit us to read all 4 chapters, 7 through 11, but I would encourage you to do that on your own. But you rise with me as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. Jeremiah chapter 7, we're going to be speaking verses 1 to 10. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, it is decision time in America. Lord, there are many who claim we need to re-envision the country. There are many who aren't even aware of what is taking place in this nation. But Lord, there's one thing we do know. We need to turn back to God. We need to do it as individuals. We need to do it as the family of God. We need to do it as a nation. Lord, today is the day when the church gets to stand in the gap for the nation of this world and call upon the name that stands above every name and to ask you to forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for our failings as a nation. Forgive us and heal our land, for your word is still true. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from evil, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. Lord God, we need healing in America today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Some of you might be wondering, why is he reading from the Old Testament? What's that have to do with our life today? And I want you to tell you that it has a whole lot to do with where we are today. These words hold great importance for us today, and I hope that you're aware of that. Because the greatest need of the hour in the church in America today is for pastors to get in the pulpit and declare, thus saith the Lord. For too long, we've heard a man's opinion. We've heard storytellers that make us feel good about ourselves. We've heard jokes. We've heard laughter. We've argued over music. We argue over the color of the rug. We've argued over a lot of things that have no lasting eternal value. It is time to get back to the Bible. And Jeremiah's temple sermon, friends, if you will, is a picture of God puncturing the balloon of the people's vain trust in the temple to spare them from judgment. It wasn't that the people weren't worshiping there, as is often the case today. They were. But they were engaging in hypocritical false worship. That same thing takes place today far more often than we'd care to admit in the age of grace. We come to church, but we will not allow God to deal with our heart. We want to hear that which makes us feel good. We want to be patted on the back. We want to be told, I'm okay. We don't want to be confronted or convicted about any issue in our life. And if that describes us, we're nothing more than a hypocrite. Is it any wonder that a lot of people outside the church say, well, going to church, that's just for hypocrites. You ever heard something like that? Well, if somebody told you that, you tell them, come on down, we already got room for one more. The Jews assumed that the mere presence of the temple in their nation would keep them safe. America assumed after 9/11 that if we just all went around wherever we were, and we shouted, God bless America, that God would keep us safe. Many today believe that just a mere profession of faith is going to keep me safe. I don't have to live for God. I just got to pray these words. That's the devil's lie of easy believism, and many have bought that Kool-Aid to their own detriment. Their lives have not been transformed by Christ. They've not yet repented of their sin. And Jesus said, unless ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. There is no power in calling upon Christ and asking Him to be your Savior and your Lord if you have not repented. Without repentance, there is no remission of sin. The people in Jerusalem even chanted, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these in verse 4, showing that it was nothing more than a good luck charm to them, in much the same way that many today believe that faith requires nothing more than mere words. How many of you have ever read James chapter 2 when he speaks that faith without works is dead? However, God is into true repentance, as verses 5 through 10 in our text spoke about. Has God changed? You know that God hasn't changed. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. And because God has not changed, God is into true repentance even today. God is not interested in magical chants or false words that flow from the lips of unrepentant hearts. And thus God commanded the people through Jeremiah, verse 5, correct your ways and your actions. And friends, God did not leave it open to interpretation as many believe today. This is a holy word. This is a living word. This is the word of God. And God gave them examples. He says, here's what I expect, just so you don't miss it. They were not to oppress the poor and the weak. They were not to shed innocent blood. They were not to follow after other gods. And you know what happened? What's happened in America for over 20 years, maybe more, but it fell on deaf ears. The people then, like people today, just continued to arrogantly break every one of God's commands. And then they marched into the temple with straight faces saying, we are rescued so we can continue doing all these detestable acts. And that is the attitude of the modern church. We'll go so we can feel good about ourselves, but we will not go and allow God to deal with our heart. God is describing for us a people that were like children playing tag. They were treating the temple like home base where they would be kept safe from harm. And friends, God sees through that. He sees through that then. He sees through that now, because God sees all. He knows all. And his response was, in essence, in verse 10, are you serious? Do you really believe that you can act and live contrary to my word and be acceptable unto me? And I believe that God could be asking that of the nation of America today. Are you serious? Do you really believe that you can play the fool and be acceptable unto me? So God gave them a history lesson. The temple had first been set up at Shiloh. And the Bible does not say what happened to Shiloh, though we can gain a measure of insight from Psalm 78 and 60. You might want to write that down, Psalm 78, 60. Archaeological evidence suggests that the Philistines destroyed it about 1050 B.C. What's more, God's wrath was so certain that if you'll look down at verse 16 in this chapter that we're in, and if your Bible is still open, you will see that God told Jeremiah, no longer pray for the people. Don't waste your breath. I'm not going to hear any more prayers for this people. Family and friends, even birds know where to go during various seasons, but the people of Judah, like many today, who've only deceived themselves because they hear God's word, but they will not obey it, they will not respond to it, they will not do it, had no sense to turn around when they'd gone the wrong way. They lacked the sense to repent of their evil way. That's what happens to a nation when common sense gives way to no sense and spiritual sense is replaced with self-deception. Without both spiritual sense and common sense, the people had no sense to repent of their evil way. We could ask that in America today, couldn't we? Where is the sense? Where is some common sense? We could ask of the church, where is the spiritual sense that we are to be a holy people devoted to a holy, righteous God? Furthermore, as is the case today in too many church houses, no one among God's servants was teaching God's word. And that's been far too often the case. And as a pastor, I am ashamed to think that and admit that. But far too often from the pulpits of America, we've not been hearing the word of God. We've been hearing peanut butter fluff. When you have the absence of God's truth, people only hear false truth. And their refusal to acknowledge that judgment was coming would be rudely interrupted when the reality of the Babylonian invasion could no longer be denied. The people would then realize their sin and repent, but it would be too late. The destruction coming upon them was the judgment God had warned them about for years through His prophets. The Bible teaches in Galatians 6 and 7, we reap what we sow, and God will not be mocked. How many of you truly understand we're going to reap what we sow, and we're going to reap more than what we sowed? Can I ask you, you put a seed of corn in the ground because you're trying to plant corn. How many ears do you get in just one stalk? You get more than you sow, amen? And you reap sooner than you think. Harvest time always comes. And God is patient and God is merciful. But you also need to understand there comes a time when God's patience runs out and He says, that's enough. You've gone this far and you will go no farther. As Americans look at the landscape of our nation today, we must ask three things. Do we have an ear to hear the truth of God's word? Will we as believers in Christ vote according to the Christian values set forth in God's word? Or have we come so far that we no longer have any sense to repent as a nation of our evil ways? The evilest of our ways is the forsaking of God. Everything else, that's just like icing on a cake. The problem is we have turned away from God. The result of the coming election will answer these questions for our nation. This is the most important election of our lifetime. And this is why it is imperative that each Christian digs deep. Each Christian needs to discover which of these candidates is lining up closest to the values of the Bible. Which of the candidates is sounding out, and yet behind the words lay the deceptive evil works of Satan? This election, as every election before it has been, is about the values of the kingdom of Satan and the values of the kingdom of God. This isn't about a Democratic or a Republican candidate. It is a vote, as every other vote has ever been, about what God values, and are we going to vote for God's values? How can God bless a nation if one party takes God out of the Pledge of Allegiance? How could God bless a nation where he is not welcome? And I want to talk for just a few moments about the deceptive evil that has been at work in America. In order for us to do this, we must review our nation's history so we can see the mile markers where we as a nation have fallen short of God's glory. In 1963, prayer was taken out of the public schools. Are you aware that it took two landmark decisions? The Supreme Court heard Engle versus Vitale on June the 25th, 1962, and Abington, with a T, School District versus Shemp on June 17th, 1963. And then the Supreme Court declared school-sponsored prayer and Bible reading to be unconstitutional. And when the Supreme Court determined that Bible reading was be unconstitutional, what they were doing was taking away God from America. We know that Madeline Murray O'Hare pushed and pushed and pushed an avowed atheist. She was the driving force, a messenger, if you will, a worker for Satan. And the Supreme Court determined that it violated the First Amendment. But are you aware that the President of the United States, the House, and the Senate were all under the control of the same party running today, a party whose initials begin with B and end with S, and that the Supreme Court at that time was comprised of liberal judges? In the words of Norman Thomas Mattoon, come hauntingly back, the American people will never knowingly adopt socialism. But under the name liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. Mile marker number two occurred on January the 22nd, 1973. Roe versus Wade was a landmark legal decision in which the United States Supreme Court struck down a Texas statute banning abortion, thereby effectively legalizing the murder of countless unborn babies across the United States. And it's been ongoing ever since. How can God bless a nation that is guilty of murdering? Are you aware that the House and the Senate at that time were controlled by the same ticket running today with BNS as the beginning and ending initials, and that the Supreme Court was under the control of liberal judges? In the words of Norman Thomas Mattoon, come hauntingly back, the American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. Until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. Mile marker number three took place in 1980. In 1980, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a Kentucky statute that had mandated every public school classroom have the Ten Commandments posted on its walls. And the ruling came to prevent public schools from displaying the Ten Commandments year-round. Are you aware that the top three branches of our government at that time were all controlled by a party running today with BNS in the beginning and ending initials, and that the Supreme Court was also controlled at that time by liberal judges? And again, the words of Norman Thomas Mattoon come hauntingly back, the American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. Mile marker number four came in 2015. Under then President Obama and Vice President O'Biden, with the House and Senate under the control of the same party running today with BNS as the beginning and ending initials, the Marriage Act was passed. What's surprising is that the Supreme Court at that time was made up of 5 conservative and 4 liberal justices. And the liberal justices convinced 1 conservative justice to vote with them. And the words of Norman Thomas Mattoon come hauntingly back. The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name liberalism they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. 4 times in 4 mile marker landmark cases, stretching from 1963 until our present day, America has said, God, we do not need you in America. But I will tell you what, if we don't have God in America, we are not one nation under God, we are one nation under Satan. Time, family and friends, will not allow me to share with you all 26 of the closely divided ideological cases that have affected our nation, but I will share with you that the numbers tell the story, and the liberals won 19 of the 26 and 8 out of 10 of the most important when it comes to the biblical values versus the satanic values they purport today. All we've done is highlight the 4 most important that turned our nation away from God. And the numbers tell the story. They also tell us why it is so important to have Christian jurists on the Supreme Court. But there's something else that these numbers prove. Evil is deceptive. People can make it sound so good. And too often, we're guilty of not digging deep. Too often, we're guilty of just believing what somebody posts or writes or says without really finding out. Too often we just want it easy. Is it any wonder that the words of Norman Thomas Mattoon, that these numbers also prove that his words are true? Perhaps they were prophetic, I don't know. Time will tell. The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. God's word, friends, has told us why it could happen. That's what makes this election the most important election of our lifetime. Now, you can believe the BS if you want to. You can choose to go along with liberalism and socialism if you want to. You can choose to bury your head in the sand as the people of Jeremiah's day did, to their own detriment. You can choose to ignore Bible truth, and you can choose to believe false truth. But I ask you, dear Christian brother and sister, how can God bless a nation where one party believes in murdering innocent children now even after they're born? How can God bless a nation where one party believes that God doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to human sexuality and marriage? How can God bless a nation that doesn't want its children to read God's word and pray? How can God bless a nation where a group of people are acting in league with the devil and not with God? Lies, hypocrisy, theft of biblical values, and murder. How can God bless a nation where one party wants to close his churches down, such as happening right now in New York and California? These are the questions we've got to ask ourselves. They're also the questions you have to answer for yourself. I cannot answer those questions for you. Your husband or your wife cannot answer those questions for you. You must answer those questions for yourself, and how you answer those questions will determine whether or not your heart is really with the Lord. Strong words, and I know it, but I know of no other way to say it. Do we want to be one nation under God or in bondage to Satan? That's what this election is all about. Which candidate? And I'm well aware that the Bible teaches time and again that God gives to every nation the kind of leadership it deserves. And you may be here this morning and don't like either candidate. And I'd say, I don't blame you. That's all right. But friends, we've got to ask ourselves, of the two that God's given us the opportunity to choose from, we need to be asking, which of these two candidates, fallible as they are, values what God values? Which of these candidates restored the religious freedoms to the churches that were taken away under then-President Obama? Which of these candidates during the pandemic has declared the church as essential? Which of these candidates has led America to bless Israel historically beyond what America has ever done before? And I want to share something with you. That ancient promise in Genesis chapter 12, that's still ongoing. God blesses those who bless Israel, and God curses those who curse Israel. 4 years of division in a nation such as we have never seen, and yet we have prospered as a nation such as we have never seen, because God honors His Word. When you bless Israel, you will be blessed. You may not know this. This is free this morning. But those horrific tornadoes that took place in Joplin and Birmingham just a few short years ago occurred on days when then President Obama determined that the Jews needed to sign over their land. That land does not belong to President Obama then, nor to the American people now. That land belongs to Israel. It is God's promised land, and they should never be asked to give up what God has determined they should have. And when America signed those documents, God spoke loud and clear. It's a matter of public record. You can go dig deep and look it up. But which of these candidates, friend, would God choose? Which of these candidates can God bless? And why is this so important for you, right where you are right now today? Why is it so important? Because as I've said before, if those at the top in leadership are not right, what's going to happen to the rest of us? If we're not right with God, what's going to happen? We are where we are today, without a doubt. Because 4 times we believed that which was being shoveled to us in the name of liberalism. Isn't it interesting? We took prayer out of school and the police moved in. We took the Ten Commandments down. We live by the rules of anything goes. We murder children as a nation, and you cannot sit here today and tell me that America does not have some sins that it needs to repent of. And we are America, and God honors prayer. And when we pray for our nation, one nation, under God, God hears prayer. But my friends, if we do not pray, if we do not humble ourselves of our arrogance, if we do not turn back to God, then it should not surprise us that the word of Norman Thomas Mattoon will come true. They don't have to come true, but they will come true. All it takes for evil to prosper is for good Christians to do nothing. Are you going to let that happen? I pray not. This morning, the altar is going to be open. The pews will be open up here. If you can't kneel, that's what the pews are for. We don't have to wait till November 1st to pray. The time to begin is now. And if not now, when? Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word to us today. And oh Lord, I weep for a nation in distress. And I weep for a nation that has turned its back. But Lord, there's something even more important than a nation here today, and that is the souls of men and women. Lord, one of the greatest fears I have as the pastor of this church is that there would be any souls within this church who've asked Christ to be their Lord and Savior, but the soul itself has never repented of their sin. And they've just believed the devil's lie of easy believism that you don't have to repent. And Lord, I pray that that soul would hear today, whoever that might be, that without repentance there is no forgiveness of sin, and oh, how we need to repent. And I pray that you'll convict that individual, whoever that individual might be. But Lord, there are Christians here today as well. And Lord, we've not honored you as we should. And I pray that we'd come and repent, and we'd get back to the Lord. It's so easy, Father, and you know it. So easy to get out there in life and just start going along to get along without ever stopping to think about the deeper issues of life. And Lord, far too many Christians have given themselves, just by example, without saying a word, just by going along, we've given credence to the evil that is enveloping us today. Lord, we have a lot ask for forgiveness for. And then, Lord, we'd be remiss if we didn't understand that also every time the church gets together, you're speaking to individuals who you're calling, just as you did Bob and Danita last week, to become a part of the family of God here at Green Valley. Lord, it's decision time. That's what the altar call is for. It's decision time for souls to get right with God, to be a part of something. Lord, it's also time for a nation to get its collective soul right, know how we need to humble ourselves today.